I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all and all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descends is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of faith and to knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's tricks, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by every ligament, for which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself in love. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I think we can all say that there are a lot of events throughout the year, throughout Scripture, that are important. Certainly, the recognition and the celebration of his ascension into heaven has got to be one of those. As we prepare for discussion of Pentecost next week, where the Holy Spirit comes to dwell with us. But what we see through these scriptures is there is an important correlation between the ascension of Christ and our responsibility here on earth as he has left this physical location of earth. When he was here, dare I say, most of the disciples assumed that it was Jesus' job to get the message out, to get the word out. He's here, he might as well tell us the truth, but once he has left the building, as it's described that Elvis has done on a number of occasions, that then falls back to us. Today we celebrate one of the great and often overlooked feasts in the Christian year, the Ascension of our Lord. 40 days after Easter, Jesus gathered his disciples on the Mount of Olives, blessed them, and was lifted up before their eyes until a cloud hid him from their sight. He did not vanish. He did not fade away. He ascended body and soul into heaven. This wasn't a magical trick where he fades into nothing. He physically was lifted from them into the sky, into the heavens. Many Christians treat the ascension like a footnote between Easter and Pentecost. And I will be quite honest with you, most of the churches that I have been associated with did not spend much time celebrating, acknowledging, studying the ascension of Christ. It was a minor stop between Easter and the big event of Pentecost. Without ascension, there is no sending of the Holy Spirit. If Christ doesn't ascend, the Spirit does not come down. And without ascension, there is no living high priest interceding for us. Christ took his proper role at the right hand of God, interceding on our behalf to his Father. So let us listen again or to the words that we find in our scripture this morning, Acts 1, 6 through 11. Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" Leave it to the disciples to lead with the wrong question. Lead with the question that concerns only them, like we often do. He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." That's a crucial piece of the puzzle that we have to look at as believers in Christ. If you look at the way Jesus shared those four locations, they were in sort of an outwardly concentric circle. They were in Jerusalem, and then the next stop outside of that would be Judea, and then Samaria on the outside of that, and then to the ends of the earth. There are so many of us, and particularly in the Great Commission of go, therefore, and make disciples of all the earth, we get caught up in the go portion of that statement. I don't have time to go to Africa. That's not what that is saying. In this example, Jesus says, start with your local community. And when you combine that with the Great Commission, it's really, it should be worded, therefore, as you go. Therefore, as you go to the grocery store. Therefore, as you go to your workplace. Therefore, as you go to your family, make disciples. It does not have anything to do with us leaving our physical location and those who get on a plane and minister, like my Aunt Annie, who spent her entire adult career in Africa. She doesn't get any better points in heaven than you and I do who serve our local community for Christ. So the first thing that I wanted to be sure that we got clear is don't get those mixed up. You are called to be a disciple. You're called to be an apostle. You're called to be a person of Christ as you go, wherever you go, and whenever you go. Verse 9, after he says this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky. As he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Now, we've probably all heard the controversy of these two white men. I was just talking in the back of the sanctuary with Lynn about it. The common, and I say common, is one of the more glamorous ideas, is the men in white were Elijah and Moses coming back during the event of the ascension and telling the men, "Let's get going." I don't know. My feeble mind thinks that they're probably angels. I don't know if it's Elijah and Moses, why we wouldn't know that it was Elijah and Moses. To me, that would be an extremely powerful piece of this puzzle. But as we all know, there are many mysterious missing pieces of this puzzle. So we don't know who these two men in white are. but let us take the words that they say to the disciples. Why are you guys standing around wasting time looking up into the heavens for the man who was here but is not here but will always be here and will return again in the future? The men in white are encouraging them to let's get moving. This world is in trouble. The people are being lost. The lambs are wandering away from the flock. And the shepherd has now left, and it's now our job to leave the 99 and go and search for the one who is missing. I'm not very good. I need a lot of help. And Jesus is loving and kind, and God is fully thought this plan to its completion. And they are told that there will be a helper, the Holy Spirit, that will descend on us to be the one who infills us and gives us the communication with Christ himself as he's in heaven. But notice the wrong question. Notice that the disciples' first question was, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Again, the men are looking at Christ as the wrong Messiah. They've been taught their entire lives, and I can't fault them necessarily for it. They were taught that the Messiah was going to be this warlike individual that was going to smite the enemies of Israel and put the kingdom of Israel back in its proper place. Even after the resurrection, they were still thinking in terms of earthly power, national restoration, and political triumph. Jesus gently corrects their vision, and he does not rebuke them and their longing for the kingdom to be restored. But the kingdom is not a political program. Jesus is not waiting in heaven hoping that things might work out. He has been enthroned. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords right now. This is the great comfort of Ascension Sunday. Jesus is not struggling. He is not anxious. He is not losing. The one who conquered sin and death sits at the right hand of the Father with all authority in heaven and on earth. Again, the scripture says, he who has ascended, what can that mean other than he has descended into the depths of hell for that 3-day period of time, and he beat, conquered, destroyed, demolished death, and we wait for his return again someday. Every ruler, every power, every ideology, every crisis in our day must answer to him. All of our problems, all of our concerns, he knows about, he's aware of. We still must go through them. With his help, with his love, with the Spirit's guidance, we must go through them. Jesus' ascension means that he is our advocate, the same Jesus who walked with sinners, touched lepers, welcomed children, and died for rebels, now represent us before the Father himself. When you fail, when you doubt, when guilt presses on our conscience, remember there is a man in glory who knows what it is to be tempted and who pleads our case while his wounds are still visible. Jesus' ascension means the Holy Spirit has come or will come. He told the disciples it was better that he go away so that the Helper could come. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in every one of us who call on his name. We're not left as orphans. The ascended Christ has poured out his Spirit so that ordinary people, like you and like me, can can live extraordinary lives as witnesses for him. The ascension guarantees our future. Because he ascended as our representative, he will ascend, we will ascend ultimately with him. Our citizenship in heaven, and from it we await a Savior who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. Death does not have the last word. The grave is not the end. Christ has gone ahead to prepare ultimately that place for us. The two men in white robes ask the disciples a piercing question. Why do you stand looking into heaven? It's a question for us as well. It is right to look to Jesus. It is right to long for his return. But we are not called to stand still, gazing upward in passive waiting. We are called to live as witnesses right here, right now, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, in our politics, our schools, our culture, and yes, especially in our churches. The Ephesians passage is crucial because it states that we all have a job to do. Not all of you are called to stand here and preach. Some are called to go out and to minister to those who are hurting. Some are called to pray. Some are called to be ambassadors of Christ, simply being the light that he shines as you meet people. We all know those individuals in our lives that the first time you meet them, you feel like you've known them your entire life. I believe that that is Christ emerging through them for their purpose of sharing their life, their love of Christ with those who are hurting. Jesus has ascended so that his people might be sent. The mission has not changed. You will be my witness. The witness is not someone who has all the answers. A witness is someone who tells what they have seen and heard. So as we see and hear the mercy and the love of Christ, our job as witnesses is to simply share that information with those we come into contact with. Living between ascension and his return, it is said that we live in the already, but the not yet. Christ has already won the victory, but the full display of that victory is still coming. In this tension, we find both urgency and peace. The kingdom of God is here, but it has not come to its completion until he returns. And our job is to live and work inside that parameter of an active, functioning, true kingdom of God, but yet not in the fullness of Christ that we will find ultimately in his kingdom when he returns. We can work for justice, we can work for beauty, we can work for the truth without despair and without fail, because ultimate victory belongs to the ascended King. There's nothing we can do to ruin his plan. We see time and time again, Peter. If that dude didn't ruin the plan of Christ, nobody is going to. If being sold out to the Romans for 30 pieces of silver doesn't sidetrack the message and the purpose of Christ, nothing we can do. So don't walk in this with fear. Walk in his comfort and his confidence that he and the helper will always be with you. We can endure suffering without losing hope because our high priest understands all of our weakness. We can love people. We can forgive deep wounds. We can pursue holiness because the same power that raised and ascended Christ is at work in us. So today, do not merely celebrate this past event, that we call Ascension Sunday. Let the Ascension reorder our present lives. If we are weary, remember, the one who sits on the throne never grows tired. If we are fearful, remember, the one who holds all authority says, "Do not be afraid." If you feel insignificant, remember, the ascended Christ uses ordinary people to turn the world upside down. Men and women of God, why do we stand looking up into the heaven as if the story were over? The story is just beginning. The head of the church has taken his throne. Now his body, us, the church, the bride, must rise up and go. Will you please pray with me? Lord Jesus, risen and ascended, we worship you. Thank you that you are not distant, but enthroned and present by your Spirit. Fill us afresh with your power. Make us faithful witnesses in our generation. Until your return in glory, keep us watchful, hopeful, and obedient. And may the world know through our lives that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. Amen.
So our last hymn, and stand if you're able, is Shine, Jesus, Shine, by the wonderful British hymn and praise music writer Graham Kendrick.
Shine on me.
Now let us all go in peace. The Lord is with us and he reigns. Amen. And remember, there is a board meeting immediately following. Go in God's love.
Amen.